The following podcast has been rated R by the Podcasters Association of America.
Something wrestling related.
Yeah. Do you watch these Dark Side of the Ring shows?
I've seen a few. The most recent one I watched was about Herb Abrams.
Oh, that's my favorite one.
Holy shit, that guy is coked out of his mind. He literally looks like a pile of cocaine, like come to life.
Basically.
Taking on sentience.
Yes, and laying with hookers. Oh, man. Many, many hookers.
Fucking nuts. But yeah. I've seen a few. I can't say I've seen them all. And I don't know. There's a part of me that is very hit and miss on these.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I enjoyed most of them, but I saw the Dino Bravo one, and I'm like, this one's bullshit. Like, they just kind of wasted our time with this one. And so yeah, I'm not
much to that one, really.
Yeah. So I'm not sold on the concept necessarily, especially when it seems like they're not talking to the right people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
Like, I know that there's people who know more than these people that they're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, oh well, we committed to this idea, this particular story, so we got to talk to somebody. So they just grab whoever they can, whether they know anything or not. And so I'm not 100% sold on them, but some of them I do like.
They're like, Jim Cornette's available, he'll talk, he'll be on any episode. I like most of them. You know, Herb Abrams is my absolute favorite one. That's just an insane story. And then you got the ones that, like Benoit,
that one was good.
I'll tragic say. Story, yeah.
That
yeah,
one was, it was really well done.
Bruiser Brody.
I like that one too. I thought that one was well done.
Now, do we need Did we need a Montreal Screwjob?
Oh,
episode.
I didn't see that one, and that, I don't know if I ever will. Because
that was a waste. Yeah. Like you mentioned, Dino Bravo. You know, I mean, I'm sorry the guy got whacked, but that's basically all the story is. And I feel like this new season, that's probably, or by the time this drops, it'll be 2 or 3 weeks in. This new season, they're starting to scrape the bottom of the barrel. You know what I mean? Not right. quite all the way there, but like, do we need a Ultimate Warrior episode?
Yeah, I mean, what are they going to talk about, really?
Yeah, because he's already getting an A&E biography that they're also doing those now.
Yeah, it's interesting that they're doing these side by side.
Yeah, it's Warrior Overload.
I didn't even need that by, you know.
Right. What else are they going to say, like you said? Do we need one on Nick Gage, deathmatch wrestler?
I'm sorry, really? But fuck Nick Gage. Like, there's people out there who love this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
CZW fans.
I guess, but yeah. I mean, even people, I don't know. Isn't he kind of a piece of shit?
I would say more than kind of, my friend.
So fuck him. Like, why are people paying any attention to this guy? Like,
yeah, I might.
It's not like he's dead. Like, why?
Are you right. I don't know, man. I might skip that one because I really don't care. You know, you got one. They're doing Luna Vachon.
See, that's the one that I am actually kind of interested in.
Okay. Yeah.
Only because she's not going to get a WWE documentary. She's not going to get an A&E documentary. She didn't even get an actual Hall of Fame induction ceremony.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she deserves all of that stuff as far as I'm concerned. And so there's somebody's story that I actually want to hear. So maybe that one will be actually somewhat interesting.
Do you know who this Bruiser Bedlam is?
Who?
Exactly.
I've heard the name before.
He's getting a Dark Side of the Ring this year. So, I mean, I feel like they're it's starting. Like, if they do a season 4, I'll be shocked. Like, because what else really is there?
Yeah.
So,
no, it makes sense. It's run its course.
Yeah. It was a good while lasting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you watch one recently that you, like, what's the most recent one you've seen of the new season?
Oh, I mean, by the time this drops, they'll have Pillman. Pillman's the season premiere. That's a 2-hour or a 2-parter. You know what I mean?
Oh, it hasn't come out yet.
At the time of this recording, no.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll be a couple more days.
Oh, okay. That's why I can't find any of them.
Or maybe it might be tomorrow night. It's very soon.
Okay.
And I think the one after that is Nick Gage. So I might skip that.
Yeah, fuck Nick Gage.
but yeah, there's Dynamite Kid. Grizzly Smith. That's going to be dark.
Like,
holy shit.
The big thing is who are they going to get to talk to? I mean, if they really do get the right people to tell the stories, then it might be worth doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like Dynamite Kid and Grizzly Smith, those are interesting. But again, it depends on who they talk to.
Right. Can't talk to Davey Boy, fortunately. I guess Jake will be on the Grizzly one. So,
yeah, I mean, I'm thinking like with Dynamite Kid, they're going to tell the same stories.
Yeah.
That we've all heard. They're going to talk to Mick Foley. Yeah. He knocked my teeth out or whatever. They're going to talk to Jacques.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. I punched him in the face. They're going to talk to Bret Hart. Probably.
They're going to talk about his mean spirited ribs.
Yeah.
On people.
Like, I'd love to hear about how he came up and the people that trained him and shit like that. I'd like to hear about when he snapped and became a fucking psychopath. I want to hear from the wife that he held a shotgun to her head and all that shit. I wonder if we're going to get all that.
Oh, wow. Okay. I don't even think I knew about that.
Yeah, I guess he threatened his wife, one of his wives. Or I don't know if it's the same wife.
Oh, boy.
Held her at gunpoint. Real jam up guy.
Yeah, sounds like it. Jeez. Okay. But yeah, I just wanted to know if you were interested in any of that. So
I heard a lot of people making a lot of noise about Bubba the Love Sponge. Was that on the Macho Man A&E documentary?
I think so.
Yeah, I think that's why people were talking about it, that they actually talked to Bubba the Love Sponge about love and relationships or something like that.
Wow.
Because if there was ever an expert.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. The guy who let Hulk Hogan bang his wife?
Yeah.
Yeah, call that guy. So bring him in. Oh, man. Yeah, those A&E biographies. I mean, the only one really I'm like jazzed about was Booker T, because I don't think he's ever had something like that where it was a full on Booker T documentary. Meanwhile, they're doing, you know, Austin, Piper, Macho Man, Warrior, Mick Foley.
Yeah, people we've seen multiple documentaries on multiple times.
Yeah, whereas Booker T, I'm like, oh, okay, well, he deserves to be in that class, you know?
Right. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I don't know how many of those I'll end up watching. I'm certainly not as excited for any of those as I am to talk about the Warriors.
I could watch that Herb Abrams one over and over again, though.
Just for pure shock value.
Exactly.
Yeah, what a life. I think Herb Abrams would have fit in with the gangs in 1979.
In
New York.
He would have been in the Luther's gang, the Rogues.
Yeah, one of those guys in the background, kind of.
Yeah.
They all looked a little
mean dumpy. Faces. They all looked what?
They all looked a little dumpy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the ones that just... Besides the one that's like his right-hand man.
Yeah, well, even him. Yeah. He kind of looked... He didn't look all that intimidating.
He had a look, though. There's so many looks in this movie. But, I can't wait to... I'm ready to dive in, you know.
All right, well, let's not delay the inevitable any longer. Let's go ahead and hit our first break. And when we come back, we're going to be discussing the 1979 cult classic directed by Walter Hill, The Warriors. So, folks, sit tight.
Tired of the PC police telling you what you can and cannot say? Want a show that travels back to the 80s and 90s, where the badass hosts have beaten down cancel culture on three separate occasions and carried on to gloat about it? Since 2013, The Midnight Jury is that show. Travel back to the malls and arcades, pop in your VHS, and join us where the 80s and 90s return from the dead. Conan, tell them where to find us.
WLWstudios.com, home of the Midnight Jury podcast, hosted by Midnight Mike and Calvin Brody.
Also available on all major podcast platforms via the Shining Wizards Network, and join in the conversation on Twitter at Midnight Jury.
Good news, boppers. The big alert has been called off. It turns out that the early reports were wrong. All wrong. Now, for that group out there that had such a hard time getting home, sorry about that. I guess the only thing we can do is play you a song.
¶¶
So yeah, it's mayhem. It's chaos, dude. Everyone's running in every direction. Cops, gang members, the Warriors. They find their way out, and that's where they end up in the. This is when they end up in the cemetery.
Yeah.
And this is where you have the. I'm pretty sure it's Vermin that says it must be Coney must be 50 to 100 miles. It's only 30 miles, yeah. Guy. Well, which is still, that's a hell of a trek that they've got to take. So,
right.
So Swan's the war chief, which I guess is the second in command, and he's laying out, you know, the if you get separated. Meet up at Union Square, blah blah blah, you know. And fuck it, Ajax. I just got one question. Who made you leader?
Right. I love that he's the resident tough guy though. Like you know why they keep him around, even though he's kind of like trouble.
An asshole.
Yeah. He's kind of more trouble than he's worth sometimes, but he's the resident badass. Like he can fuck up pretty much anybody.
And he does listen to Swan eventually.
Yeah.
You know, so, but yeah, he's challenging for the position of leader there. And, but everyone else, you know, backs up Swan, you know, Swan's the war chief.
Right.
So we listen to him. So yeah, they're in a cemetery, which is, I wonder how much that costs to shoot in, or what the kind of permits they had to get there.
It might have just been a guerrilla shoot too.
Yeah, good point. Let's see. Is this when we meet the Turnbull ACs?
Pretty quickly after this, yeah. But
we get the DJ first, right?
Yes. They do. They tell Rembrandt before they leave the cemetery to mark it.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, Rembrandt, hurry up, fool!
He's taking away from me.
Yeah, he's taking his sweet ass time. No wonder they left him in the dust. Like, damn! Yeah. All you're doing is painting a W. It's not that hard.
And was that someone's tombstone?
Holy well, it looked shit. Like it had already been graffitied anyway, so, you know, what's one more W?
Speaking of the graffiti on the subway cars, fantastic.
Yeah.
I love that.
I'm sure that was all legit, too.
Love that. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm sure they didn't do that. The crew didn't do that or anything. Yeah.
But no, we do get the DJ for the first time. The Riffs find out. Well, the Riffs were there and they heard Luther accuse the Warriors. So they want to put the word out on the street for them to be targeted.
Yeah.
And we get the Nowhere to Run song, which is fucking.
Oh, cool. That's perfect. Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. Perfect song for this scenario. Oh, so that's when you see Sam Jackson. Believe it or not. Yeah.
Where is he?
You kind of see a collection of gangs, you know, getting ready to hit the town and look for the Warriors. Well, he is there's a gang of all black guys that are wearing like camo jackets.
Uh-huh.
And Sam Jackson is front and center. It's literally all of 3 seconds.
Oh, wow. I wish I had been paying closer attention. I missed that.
Yeah, it's a very young Sam Jackson. I believe this is his first on-screen appearance.
That's cool. But I guess the Warriors aren't very well known. I mean, they do have somewhat of a reputation, but they're not like one of the higher ups because
yeah,
the new
they're all the way out. They're all the way out in Coney.
Yeah, the new leader of the Rifts is like trying to get, he's asking everybody where are they at, what do we know about them.
Oh yeah, I love this scene. Yeah. His name is Masai.
Yeah.
M-A-S-A-I.
Yeah.
So
they don't say his name at all.
No, no, but it's on the Wikipedia.
Right.
I made a note about I've loved this ever since the first time I saw it. When he says, "Who are the Warriors?" The way he enunciates with his mouth. Obviously, the listeners can't see me because it's audio, but you can see me. I'm doing the with my mouth. Who right. are the Warriors?
He's putting all he has behind every word.
And his aviator shades. He's got a great look.
Yeah, for sure.
Riffs. Yeah, right? So, yeah. There must be some word. They got nothing. So that's when the DJ. Is this just a gang? Do only the gangs listen to this station? Like, what's the deal with this? This DJ person.
I wouldn't be surprised, because they've kind of developed their own little infrastructure, you know, just by word of mouth over time. Everyone kind of said, you know what, we can get word to this DJ, mm-hmm. and if everybody listens to this station, this is how word gets passed around. And so almost by default, that's what everybody kind of ends up listening to. So I think it's really fucking cool.
Yeah, one of the gangs, I think it's before you see Sam Jackson, they have a big old ghetto blaster. One of them has a big old ghetto blaster on his shoulder. Yeah. There. So yeah, I just kind of find that funny that this is like the gang's, all the gang's favorite radio station, I guess. So.
So yeah, once the word gets out, you see all the gangs kind of filing out into the street,
mm-hmm.
on the lookout for the Warriors.
Which, by the way, the Warriors do not know, or they don't realize that they're wanted for the murder of Cyrus.
Right.
They just assume that the truce is off.
Right.
And they're going to have to fight their way back.
And they're really nervous about it because they're not packed.
Nope.
And they're on everybody else's turf.
Well, Ajax isn't worried.
No, he's never worried.
He's ready to fuck shit up with just his nukes.
What was I going to say? Oh, you never see Fox tell the rest of the guys that he saw who did it?
Yeah.
But they do know. So you assume at some point he told them.
Yeah, I would imagine it would come up in conversation, something like that, you know.
Well, Panda was confused. She was like, "Why doesn't he tell them that he saw who did it?" And blah blah blah. I'm like, they're not gonna believe him at this point, because,
mm-hmm.
You know, right now everybody's all fired up looking for the Warriors or whatever,
right?
So yeah, of course they're gonna say, "No, we didn't do it. It was this guy or whatever."
I swear, we didn't do it.
But she was wondering why Fox didn't tell the rest of the guys, and I'm like, well, he probably did. They just didn't see it. So
right, we can assume it happened off screen. Yeah. So next, I have the Turnbull ACs, which apparently is the most inclusive skinhead gang in all of America, because I don't know a lot about skinheads, but I know that they're usually all white, but we have white people, we have black people, we have brown people. This is
a little bit of everything on that bus.
Yeah. Very inclusive skinhead gang.
I don't know if they were using the term skinhead as Aryan Nation skinhead.
Apparently, well, obviously not.
Yeah, I guess skinhead just meaning they shave their heads.
Yeah,
because Ajax does call them skinheaded freaks or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
or fucks, or I don't know what he calls them.
Skinheaded fucks, I'm sure.
Yeah.
He wants to take, of course, he wants to take them all on.
Well, yeah, they're a bunch of wimps.
Bunch of wimps.
What are you turning, faggot?
Is this number two?
I think so.
Okay. Oh, great. So they got to make it to the next platform without.
Well, they make it. Yeah, they make it onto the train.
Turnbull ACs.
Yeah.
This is the first of many, many running scenes. Those actors must have had some cardio, man.
Oh, cardio for days. I could not have been on that shoot.
Especially the we'll get to it, but the Baseball Furies.
Yeah.
Chase. God damn.
I would have been one of the orphans because they don't do any running, so. I'm like, yo, can I be an orphan? Because
they run away from trouble.
Yeah, but it's real brief.
Orphans, real low class.
You see what you get when you mess with the orphans?
Well, they write about us in the paper. Oh, that's great. real bad. Yeah,
that's real neat.
I love the way Fox said, "Oh, okay."
You could see Fox has got some swag to him. Like, it's no wonder they thought he could turn into something. Especially when he gets his first line out on Mercy. We're not going to change who we are because some whore shakes her ass.
Some whore. I ain't no whore. Don't call me no whore. Sorry, I'm full of quotes.
No, I popped every time anybody said anything to Mercy, I fucking popped.
And well, she's got a mouth on her.
She does. I
mean, good goodness gracious.
Yeah, that mouth is only good for one thing, if you know what I'm saying.
Hey-o. Okay, yeah. So Turnbull ACs, they're running from them and they're very slow bus. I guess there's a lot of humanity on that bus, so
yeah.
I guess that's as fast as it can go. And so they make it successfully onto the train, avoiding the Turnbull ACs. They think they're home free because I think they're only going to make like one more. They got to switch trains one more time, and then they're good
home,
to go.
Home free, yeah.
Yeah. They're all celebrating, hooting and hollering. I do like Swan saying, "Yeah, why don't we celebrate when we get home?"
He's such a Leonardo.
Yeah.
Always gotta bring the party down just to get serious.
Dude, I kind of see it though. I mean, we're still far from home, man. Like, of course, I think it's Vermin who says, "We're home free." You know. And then we get the DJ again.
I love that everyone's called Boppers.
Warrior, yeah. Hey, Boppers. The Warriors made it past the Turnbull ACs. Yeah, I think they made a good choice by just showing her lips.
Mm-hmm.
Very pronounced. You do see one of her eyeballs. I think it's the first time you see her. So she does have a face. And then we get to, there's a fire.
Right. That's what halts their progress.
Yes.
So instead of taking the train all the way to the next stop, now they have to walk.
Yep. And maybe we got to think about who's... Maybe we ought to think who started that fire, which is a good question.
You know that was done on purpose to get them back out on the street. And now they have to go through the deadly, hollowed ground of the orphans. I hate orphans. This makes me think of Nacho Libre.
Real low class.
You've seen You've seen Nacho Libre, right?
A couple times, yeah.
I hate orphans. I hate all the orphans in the whole world.
The cheaps. The cheaps. They give it flavor. It's not one of my favorite Jack Black movies, I'll be honest. It's pretty silly.
Oh, man, I love it.
Do you? Okay.
Yep. That's going to be another one for the docket.
Oh, boy. Next to Blank Man.
Yep.
Great.
Maybe we'll do a double feature.
Well, that'd be one way to torture me. For sure. I'm sorry. Where are we at? Oh, yeah. So they got to go through the orphans.
Turf.
Yeah, they're turf. They're so they're good. Their whole they just have green shirts that say orphans on the back. It's pretty lame. So it's Swan and Fox go to talk to their leader.
Yeah. Since when did you become a diplomat?
Yeah. Right.
What are you turning faggot? They're just a bunch of nips.
And the orphans turn out, yeah, they turn out to be not such a threat. They read about us in the paper. Oh, look at that.
Yeah, they're probably scared of you guys.
So the leader, we don't learn his name, right?
No, but I love his lazy eye.
Not important. He's got a weird look to him.
It's cool though. I fucking love the orphans. Like you can tell they're just a bunch of rejects who kind of form their own little gang.
Like the Losers Club.
Yeah, yeah.
From It.
Right. But I love it. I love the character of it.
Yeah.
And everything's cool. They work it all out. They're just gonna pass through peacefully. Mm-hmm. And who goes and opens her big cocksucker?
None other than Mercy.
Bawk, 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 bawk.
Yeah, what the fuck? I should have slapped you when you opened your mouth. Who stopped you? She's got a point. Like,
she's just looking for some action. She doesn't care if she gets ramrodded or slapped around. She just wants something to happen.
Right. It's got to be pretty boring and lame hanging out with the orphans.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
There's not a man among them.
I read that she's the girlfriend of the leader. I'm like, how did that happen? Okay.
Apparently she's a lot of people's girlfriend.
Maybe so.
But so now, instead of allowing the warriors to walk through peacefully, the only way the orphans will allow it is if they take off their vests.
Well, she asked for one of the vests.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to fucking happen.
Yeah, right.
What are we going? Get another one.
What are we going, steady?
Yeah. Get another one, man. Maybe so. Apparently, there's a tailor for all these gigs. So, but no, that's not going to happen. They're not going to give her one of their vests. So now the orphans leader demands that they take off their colors. So they walk through as civilians.
Yeah.
Or I got to come down on you. Swan. Fuck you.
Yeah. Swan's answer.
Yeah. So the orphans just run away.
Yeah. I guess they're going to set up some kind of ambush or something. I don't know.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Real threatening.
But then Mercy just ends up walking through the streets, the empty streets.
She's still talking shit. Yeah, you bad at you warriors. Think you're all badass or whatever she says.
But then like she turns a corner and all of a sudden like there's nobody there. They're all just kind of hiding out waiting to grab her.
Ajax sneaks up on her.
Yeah.
He's ready to, you know, have his way.
He's ready to play rough.
Mm-hmm. But he listens to Swan and he lets her go. Surprisingly.
And then Swan goes, Maybe we ought to pull a train on you. You might even like it.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit. I popped, man. Every time somebody says something to Mercy, I just fucking
things you can't say to a woman in a movie nowadays, right?
For 200, Alex.
Yeah, exactly. So here come the orphans. They're I don't know. They got weapons now, right?
Yeah, they're packed.
Yeah, they're packed. There you go. He rips something from Mercy, right?
The part of her skirt.
Part of her skirt. Okay. The old Molotov cocktail.
Yeah, Snow just happened to have a bottle of alcohol around his neck.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah, I guess he carries that around with him. Like a glass bottle, like not a flask. He carries a glass bottle of alcohol around his neck.
For situations like these.
Right. Just in case.
So they light up the cocktail, they throw it at the car that's right next to the orphans. Big kaboom. You know, takes out a couple of them at least. And then Mercy is running with the warriors now.
Well, aren't they dragging her along at first?
I think Swan's dragging her. Dragging her along for whatever reason. So.
Yeah, I don't really remember exactly why they bring her so far with them at first. And at first, it almost seems like she doesn't even really want to go. Like, she's going kind of against her will. But then you get the impression... I mean, you definitely get the impression.
No, she wants to go.
Yeah, you definitely get that impression later on that she wants to go.
She wants some action.
Yeah. So... Luther makes another call at this point and tells whoever that
is this at the little convenience store, it's like a convenience stand, I guess.
Yeah, I think so.
Where you can buy gum and shit.
Yeah. Hey, pay the money you owe.
For what?
Freaks out on her.
Yeah.
But I guess he tells whoever that the orphans had them and then they got wrecked or whatever.
Yeah.
So
you see the DJ again.
Yep.
The Warriors made it past one of the minor league teams. Poppers.
So they end up in the subway again.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of cops start chasing. Isn't this when the cops start chasing him?
Yeah, they hear footsteps, you know, ominous.
Yeah.
They're
sitting in the train waiting for it to go, and it won't go.
Right.
And then a bunch of cops show up.
Mm-hmm. And the chase is on. Is every cop just, like, looking for any gang member to bust?
Well, probably so after that big meeting.
But they're not doing anything. They're just sitting on the train.
Yeah, I think they don't need an excuse to harass gang members.
I guess in this era of time.
Yeah.
There's different rules.
This is where they first get separated?
Yes.
Okay, so it's
Cochise, Rembrandt, and Vermin.
Right.
And then Swan, Ajax, Cowboy, Snow. And then Fox and Mercy. This is when Fox gets eliminated.
Right. Or some guy that looks like Fox.
Yeah. I don't care how you do it. Just kill him.
Just kill him.
Yeah. So Mercy runs away. She'll come back later.
Mm-hmm.
Into the fold. So Cochise, Rembrandt, and Vermin, they get on another train, right? Because
they make it to Union Square.
Swan said, if we get split up, you know,
meet at Union Square.
Right.
So they actually get there.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone else has to go out to the street.
Yeah.
And now they're hoofing it again.
Swan, Ajax, Cowboy, Snow.
Yeah. And that's when...
This is when they meet the Baseball Furies.
Yep. I love how they're just walking out in the street and all of a sudden the street is full of Furies.
The Furies just happen to be waiting there.
Yep. How fucking creepy is that?
Oh, very creepy.
I would not want to turn the corner and see that standing there waiting.
With their painted faces and the bats.
Yeah.
And yeah, so the chase is on.
Oh, the chase is on.
The chase is, it's so long. So much running.
And they split up again for some stupid reason. They keep splitting
Snow and Swan, they flank the Furies.
Right, I know, but I mean, thankfully that worked out, I guess, but
right.
They just keep splitting up.
Meanwhile, Cowboy, his cardio is not up to standard.
No, and then he jobs right away when the Furies catch up to him.
Ajax keeps slapping him on the ass. Did you notice that?
No, I didn't.
No, yeah, he's slapping him on the ass like you would a horse. You know, keep going for him to keep going.
Well, he is a cowboy.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. But eventually, Cowboy says, "I can't run no more." Ajax is like, "What does he say?"
He said, "Good,
good, good." Yeah,
tired of all this running shit anyway.
He stopped. Yeah, he's ready to fight. He stops and he takes out one of the Furies.
Oh man, he and that fucking
Cowboy. Yeah, Cowboy house. Gets jobbed out.
Yeah,
right away.
He gets one-shotted.
Yeah. And then we we have one of probably Ajax's most famous line. I'll take that bat and I'll shove that bat up your ass and turn you into a popsicle.
Yep.
Well, see, the thing is, okay, so the Baseball Fury, he's like being all showy with the bat.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, look at it over here. Now I got it over here. Now I got it right there. You know what I mean? How can you successfully fight hand to hand with a bat?
It's not the most practical weapon.
He takes a swing and Ajax takes him out immediately.
Yeah, because I mean, if you miss a swing with a baseball bat,
yeah,
you're pretty vulnerable.
Right. He punches him. He knees him in the gut. Knees him to the face.
At one point during this fight, he does a gorilla press slam on one of them.
Oh, okay, yeah. He sure does.
I mean, he fucking cleans house. He's like Stone Cold Steve Austin.
But yeah, these Furies. Yeah, right. There should have been... Someone should have thrown him some beers at one point. And
yeah. Some Steve Weisers.
So these Furies are not the best fighters because they rely on the bats. And the... Yeah, it's not the best weapon.
I think they're all... Like they're hoping more to kind of freak people out and intimidate them with their look than they really want to fight.
Which is intimidating.
Yeah, it definitely is. I'm sure that they win a lot of fights on that ground alone.
But the Warriors pretty much mop the floor with them.
Oh yeah.
Swan, Snow, Ajax. Cowboys not so much.
No.
Yeah, so they kick all, and they take their bats. Like that. Now they got some. Now they're packing something at least.
Right. No longer empty-handed. Ajax knew they were a bunch of wimps. He was right all along.
I think they were faggots.
They had to be.
More like baseball faggots, right?
He probably would have enjoyed that that baseball bat up the ass.
But I mean, even though they went down easily, probably my favorite gang beside the Warriors is the Baseball Furies.
Baseball Furies.
I mean, and me being such a baseball fan too, that, you know, that pops me.
Yeah.
That their gimmick is baseball.
Baseball Furies dropped the ball, made an error.
The DJ. Yeah, right. We had a minor league place team reference earlier. Now
baseball this. Puns.
Yeah. Right. I love it. I pop relevant.
Yeah.
So then is this when we see Berman, Rembrandt, Cochise? This is when they meet the Lizzies?
Yeah, and I was gonna make a suggestion that maybe they change their name to the Lizzies.
I get you. I get what you're saying.
Because when they make their, first of all, these women are just conveniently parked at this train station.
Yeah, they're just waiting right there. That's not a red flag.
No, not at all. And then even before they go into the apartment, Cochise asks them, "Hey, where your dudes at or whatever?" And she goes, "Man, I wish I had written it down." But she's just
they're out of town or something like that.
Yeah, they're not here, and like. Don't worry about them. They're totally lame. Like, whatever, you know? He's like, oh, okay. Like, like you fell for that line, Cochise? Are you kidding me?
Him and Berman are all about the posse.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
They've gone too long.
Is this where you have your notes about Rembrandt?
Yeah, so Rembrandt's gay then, right?
I don't know. I just think he's,
or is he that committed to the cause? Like, because he has zero interest in this whatsoever.
Well, they're just, how long are they going to be there? They gotta get back to the others.
Yeah, he's just not. He's not bought in whatsoever to the charms.
Well, thank God he has his guard up. Actually,
yeah, that's true. But I just think too, with my reference to the Lizzies. I think it's like gay noticing gay,
because
he sees two of them dancing together, and you could see like the wheels turning in his head.
Yeah, that is some weird dancing, right?
He's like, these chicks aren't really into us.
That blonde was pretty cute, I thought.
Yeah. A couple of them were all right looking.
Yeah, and then there's the butchy ones, if you will.
Yeah.
And that's not so much.
No, but Rembrandt's not feeling it.
No.
But you kind of cut
his,
back.
His guard is completely up.
Yeah. You kind of cut back and forth, but basically this whole thing plays out with the chicks are packed,
right?
The chicks are packed, and they start whipping out switchblades, and one of them has a gun.
Yeah,
and these guys escape by the skin of their teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, she's not a good shot.
I could have seen, one of them getting got, preferably Berman for me.
I could have seen Rembrandt being the only one to escape this because he was the only one with his guard up.
Mm-hmm.
And both Cochise and Berman getting put down here.
Right. But nope, they get out of there. Just barely, like you said.
It is pretty badass how Cochise smashes that door.
Yeah. I mean, Berman socks one right in the face. I don't know if you caught that.
But. Yep. They
understandable. I mean, she's trying to kill him, so
yeah, it's game on do? When they start when they pull the weapons out.
Mm-hmm.
That was that was fucking crazy though. I love that scene.
We may have jumped ahead because this is when the other guys are they're walking through the park and they see the lady on the bench.
Like I said, it cuts back and forth between these scenes. So yeah.
Yeah. Fucking Ajax.
Yep. You fucking know? Ajax has got the urge. He's got the itch.
We're not trying to get home and get home safe and survive all these gangs coming after us. You know,
let's stop and talk to this kind of average looking girl on the park bench.
Yeah, I mean, she's okay. Don't get me wrong, but wouldn't that be a red flag too? Like just some lady
sitting all by herself in the park
in the middle of the night.
Right.
New York City.
That's not shady at all.
Late 70s where it's so unsafe.
Right.
Yeah. So Ajax goes there. He'll catch up, you know.
They even tell him, like, there's plenty of girls at back home, man.
Right. And then you see Ajax, you want to play rough? Is that him?
She says, I think she says take it easy or whatever, because he very aggressively.
Oh yeah. Grabs her.
Goes in for the
boob.
Yeah. And he's like, I like it rough or whatever. What are you turning faggot?
I think that is he does drop that for the third time.
Oh man, I wish he'd said it to the chick. That would have been perfect.
That would have been the beautiful. Just oh my God. So yeah, they kind of wrestle around a little bit. She handcuffs him to the bench. Yep. Turns out she's an undercover cop.
Then starts
blowing the rape whistle. Yeah. Yep. Of course, now you see Ajax kind of, I don't know how you'd say it, but let me go.
He kind of breaks down a little bit.
He realizes he's in the deep shit.
Right. His tough guy facade can't overcome this.
No.
He's fucked.
He's trying to somehow move the bench.
Yeah.
And then is this when you see Cowboy and Swan? Or no, Cowboy and Snow tell Swan that they're going to go back for him?
Yeah, so here they're splitting up again, this time leaving Swan completely by himself.
Right.
Like, why wouldn't Swan just go with them? Why wouldn't he just say, yeah, you're right, we should go back and check on him? Like, why the fuck is he going to go anywhere by himself?
Yeah. Very weird.
Yeah, that's just stupid.
Cowboy says he owes him one, so him and Snow go back there, and before they can make it back there, that's when the cop car pulls up and Ajax socks one of the cops.
Yeah, so they've got him putting up a fight.
They got him for assault of a police officer, if nothing else. And does he get walloped in the face with a billy club?
Yeah, he gets a big boss manned a couple of times.
Yeah. He's bleeding from the mouth.
Yeah, serving hard time.
He probably calls him a faggot.
Probably.
Yeah. He's taken into custody. You finally see a cowboy and Snow walk up on the scene, and they see Ajax being put in the back of the squad car. So,
yeah, I was kind of sad to see Ajax go.
Yeah, me too. But it's his own fault, man.
Yeah, seriously.
His own stupidity.
I mean, that was obvious. Shouldn't have fallen for that, Ajax. That was dumb.
You're right.
So while all this is going down, Swan on his own gets back to the train station, and that's when he's slowly being followed by a hillbilly on roller skates.
Well, no, he meets up with Mercy again.
Oh, that's right. He does that first. And then
she's got the jacket on now.
Right, right. And the cops chase them again.
Mm-hmm.
And they make their way. They make their escape by running on the tracks.
Yeah. That's when he throws the bat at the cop's feet.
Takes out Sonny's feet.
Takes a hell of a bump. Yeah, now they're walking through the tunnel.
And having this conversation where Mercy is just thirsty AF.
Dude, come on. She's literally begging.
She literally says, please. Please. Mm-hmm. Like, holy shit.
They make out a little bit before that, but yeah. She's good God, man. Would you even want to at that point? Like,
yeah, I know. I mean, she's basically admitted that. Swan gets off another good line. Why don't I just tie a mattress to your back? I was like, holy shit.
Add that to the list of things you can't man. Say anymore.
Popped again. But yeah, she basically admits that she would pretty much lay down with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And
I mean, she's not. What do you think? Does she got the look?
The panda said she had kind of a bird face. Maybe like ostrich a little bit, or emu. See
that, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not that she's overly attractive.
Mm-hmm.
She's
but not
pretty.
Bad either.
Yeah, she's pretty. And I think it's the swagger.
Yeah. The mouth on her.
Yeah, the mouth, the attitude. It's almost like a kind of like, what the hell? Like everybody else has, why not?
I ain't no whore.
Yeah, sure.
Meanwhile, you're begging for the D.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I feel like in Swan's situation, yeah, I got 15 minutes. What the hell?
15.
Well, you know,
you're
still trying to get home. You don't want to overdo it.
Well, yeah, I mean, but I'd probably get it done another 10.
She doesn't deserve any more than that. So ultimately, Swan thinks better of the whole situation and basically tells Mercy to fuck off and walks away on his own.
Yeah. But she'll follow, of course.
Right. And that's where he starts getting followed by a hillbilly on roller skates. And she thinks that she's warning him when she finds him later. But he was already aware.
God damn it, Mercy.
Yeah.
Way to blow that, right?
Well, I'm sure she's blown a lot of things in her time. Bit of an expert.
But this is really just they're following you. And she's looking out, she looks over at them.
They're right there.
As very real subtle.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, you see those guys that are right there?
I'm gonna look right at them as I talk to you.
Well, how could you not? They're right there. They're like,
yeah.
It's like a bedroom. Like they're on one side and you're on the other.
Mm-hmm.
That's how close they are. Hey, those guys are following you.
Yeah, but now they know that I know that.
I thought that was kind of dumb. Yeah. Like, who cares if they know you know? Is that going to change things, really?
Well, luckily, he is reunited with the other warriors.
Yeah, very luckily, because he was up shit creek for a second there.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that he doesn't have to say anything. He just kind of gestures towards the men's room and they all know.
Yeah.
Like, this is where we do our best work. We're going to give him the old men's room treatment.
The men's room technique. Love it.
And holy shit. What's that?
Hold on. We missed the scene where Snow and Cowboy reunite with Cochise Rembrandt Berman.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So they're all back together, and then we see them. They spot Swan and Mercy, and here we are.
Do they pass any pertinent information at that time?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
But I did notice that Snow was the one taking the leadership role there. So. I would assume that Snow would be the next in line for now that Ajax is taken out of the equation.
Yeah, he seems to be the most level-headed one out of those that are left.
Mm-hmm.
I would have maybe seen Cochise in that spot, but he's a little too distracted by the poon.
Right. No, it would be Snow.
Yeah.
If something happened to Swan, it would be Snow to take over.
Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah, the men's room.
Dude, this is the fight scene to end all fight scenes. This is so fucking epic.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. Like, from start to finish, I am just all about
I like how the... they're called the punks, by the way.
That's it.
They're not the hillbillies. They're the punks.
Wow!
If you can believe that.
What a letdown.
Yeah.
They couldn't come up with something better than that. Like the Billy Goat Bladers or the Blue Jean Rollers or anything.
Billy Goat Bladers. I like that. That sounds like a minor. That sounds like a minor league baseball team. That's what that sounds.
The bluegrass something. They couldn't do anything better than the punks.
The punks.
Man, they don't even look punk.
Yeah, they. Like you said, they look like they all have overalls on, so they look like hillbillies and. Even the hillbillies, I would have accepted.
Yeah. Yeah, something.
The punks.
Definitely not punk.
No.
What's that band that sings Come On Eileen?
Oh my God, I know this. Come on, Eileen. I love the song.
Oh, I hate that song.
You do?
We're disagreeing on everything today.
Okay. I guess I could see how you could find it annoying, but I'm a sucker for most 80s pop songs. Well, what the hell?
Dexy's Midnight Runners.
That's what it is. I was going to say I could look it up, but I don't want to.
They look more like them than punk.
Dude, they could have been the Midnight Runners, sure.
Anything.
The Runners.
The Anything Blade other than the Punks.
The Blade Runners. Ooh.
Oh, hey, there you go. Now we're talking. Although roller skates weren't really blades back then.
Yeah, good point.
And I think only one of them was even on roller skates.
Yeah, the first one you see.
Yeah.
That's following Swan.
We
actually saw the punks earlier in the movie when we see all the gangs heading out to find the warriors. They're listening to the radio.
Yeah, I remember that.
So, yeah, epic fight scene. Mercy even gets in on the action.
Yeah, she bites a guy on the shoulder. I fucking love that. Oh, but so this called back to some of my research and how the stunt coordinator for the movie put all the actors through an actual stunt fighting class.
Okay.
Because he wanted the fight to look as authentic as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, stuntmen do this, but actors typically don't. But in this particular case, he put them through this school, stunt school, so that when it came time to film these fight scenes, they looked as good as they possibly could. And I was like cringing at some of the shots, some of the hits.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them look fucking brutal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think Vermin gets thrown into the mirrors. One guy gets his head slammed into the wall. Oh, it's just fucking crazy. Yeah, chaos.
But the Warriors overcome.
Yeah, they prevail. And holy shit, if they didn't have a reputation before, mm-hmm. it's etched in cement now.
Yeah, man. They're fighting their way through New York City.
Yeah.
And I mean, they've only lost, well, they've technically lost two, but only one of them is actually dead. The other one is just in custody. So.
Right.
So, I'm sorry. I forgot Cleon. Cleon's dead.
Yeah. He didn't really have much of a chance, though.
No. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say the only one who really jobbed was Fox.
Right. Yeah.
Getting taken out by one cop. That's pretty shitty.
How about you roll away from the train tracks?
Yeah, I know, right?
Towards. But,
Panda actually audibly gasped during that scene. She was into it, man.
Nice.
And I didn't think she would really get into this movie because I always think of it more as like a guy movie.
Sure.
But she was into it. And speaking of guy movies, I don't know at what point this movie hit on that for me because I don't remember my first experience watching it very well.
Mm-hmm.
But it has that thing of like a group of guys banding together in order to survive.
Mm-hmm.
It has that Young Guns vibe, you know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
And I fucking love Young Guns. That
the Outsiders.
Outsiders too. But Young Guns was my runaway favorite movie until Heat came along.
Emilio.
Yeah, I fucking loved that movie, and I loved the idea of a group of like, especially young guys, but any group of guys, like the Magnificent Seven, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
where the odds are obviously against them. But they have a lot going for them. They're particularly tough or skilled or whatever. And so they stand a chance, even if it's a small chance, they stand a chance no matter what. And they just they band together and they support each other and they overcome the odds. They may lose a few along the way, but every individual has his own persona, his own personality and attitude and strengths and weaknesses. Right. I don't know, but whenever I encounter a movie or a story like that, I'm just fucking all about it. It really hits a sweet spot for me.
Gotcha. We should do the Young Guns and Outsiders one day.
Oh, we will.
Yeah. Even Young Guns 2.
Oh, yeah. Young Guns 2 is an underrated sequel.
Mm-hmm. All-star cast.
Yeah.
Do we see Luther again around this point?
I
feel like we do. I feel like we see him on the phone again.
I'll be honest with you. My notes are done. Like I don't have anything left.
Okay.
Because everything else to me is pretty self-explanatory. So.
Yeah. So they make it past the punks. We have the scene where this random gang member is being led to the Rift's lair, and he has information. He says that he saw who really shot Cyrus. Or, well, he doesn't say anything, but like the one Riff goes to Masai and says, hey, this guy says he saw who really shot Cyrus.
Yeah, and you pretty much have to have this scene or else the ending doesn't make sense.
Right.
So
kudos to that guy for coming forward.
Yeah, I know. It wasn't like, I mean, there was a lot of people there. It's hard to believe that Fox is the only one who saw who did it.
Right, right. But he didn't have to come forward.
No, that's true.
Save their ass.
Like I said,
this
whole idea is this whole plot point is a little flimsy. Like, this whole thing is just basically based on a misunderstanding. Mistaken identity.
Pretty much, yeah.
And I honestly firmly believe that there was more to the story than what ends up happening. Because that, I mean, they could have done something that's way more intriguing than just, oh, we had the wrong guys the whole time? Okay. And the ending is very abrupt, too, which makes me also...
Yeah, our bad. That's our bad.
Yeah.
Well, even the DJ, sorry about that. This one's for you. Okay, yeah, so we have that guy comes forward. He's
now the Warriors got all kinds of rep now after everything they've
sells out Luther. Is this where I did want to say something else. Remember that we kind of see quick little scenes where Masai is getting information, and he's just this. You just see him and his aviators.
Uh huh.
And you see a Riff whispering into his. The Warriors made it past the, you know, the orphans. They're not on our network. those little scenes, like those little moments like that, I really liked.
Yeah. From here, there's the scene where they're riding back on the train and all like haggard and beat up and worn out.
Oh, and then those kids.
Yeah.
Those teenagers. I guess it was prom night.
I guess so.
New York
City. All hell's breaking loose in the ghetto, regular people are going to their prom.
I do like that, though, because it kind of reminds you that There is a, for lack of a better term, a normal world going on around the gangs and all that. So that's where I like the contrast of these teenagers in their prom gear. And then you have the Warriors who are all, like you said, haggard and beat up, and Mercy's all filthy and dirty. Well, she's filthy and dirty,
right,
in another way. but you know what I mean. She's all beat up too, and she goes to like move her hair or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And Swan puts her head down.
Right, like don't bother.
That? Yeah, what are you doing? Why?
I love it. I gotta say, man, this scene. Like, so you take all of the cheesiness of the movie and whatnot and the campiness,
mm-hmm.
and then you throw something like this in.
Right.
And this is like storytelling, movie storytelling, like at its finest.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's definite craft on display in this scene, especially because no one says anything at all. I mean the prom kids are talking to each other, but you don't really know what they're saying or care.
And then they sit down and then it's awkward silence.
Right. They almost don't even really notice Swan and Mercy sitting there. But as soon as they do, that's when it gets awkward and you know, they get up and leave or whatever, but just all the little
the one guy, oh yeah, we better go.
But yeah, just all the little glances and the subtleties of the things just speak volumes to me. Like, and I don't think it was that Swan was telling Mercy, you know, don't bother. Like, it's not like you're not gonna achieve their level or whatever by fixing your hair.
Right, right.
But it's also too, like, don't bother. You shouldn't have to hide who you are.
Yeah.
Like, you're of this world, you're not of that world, but there's no shame in it.
Mm-hmm.
I think is another message that he was kind of sending to her. Like, you don't have to feel bad about yourself because you're in the presence of these normal people.
Yeah. That's like, deep, man. That's deep, man.
Well, yeah,
I never really thought about it that way.
Yeah, that's what I got out of it. Like, just be who you are, because you're just a person. You're just a person like them. Like, you're no worse, and they're no better.
You ain't no whore.
Like, think about it. You think about everything that they've gone through in that night.
Mm-hmm.
They're way more deserving of anything that they get out of life than those prom kids are.
Yeah.
Like, what did they survive that night? You know,
them and their white privilege. All right. They need to check themselves.
Exactly. But no, and then too, just the idea that there's a whole lot to it. Like, also to the idea that Swan and Mercy are so, like you said, you talked about, like, there's a normal world going on.
Yeah.
There's normality going on in the world while all this chaos is happening. Like, they're almost like two separate universes.
Yeah.
And the way that they're seated across from each other on this subway train, they might as well be separated by a galaxy.
Because
they're so far removed from each other. Like, the people in the prom dresses and whatnot, they have no concept of the kind of life that Swan and Mercy are living.
Right.
And Swan and Mercy have no concept of the kind of life that those prom kids are living. And then on top of that, when the prom kids leave, they drop the corsage.
Right.
And they don't care. To them, it means nothing.
Oh, the prom kids. Yeah.
Yeah. But when Swan and Mercy get off the train, he picks it up and gives it to Mercy because he says he can't stand to see anything wasted. And it's, again, reinforcing that whole idea of appreciation for who you are and the life you live. Those prom kids couldn't care less about that corsage because.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah. What was it to them? It was just a few bucks and they're never going to look at it or see it again.
Mm-hmm.
But to Swan and Mercy, that's something that they would never get their hands on in a million years. And just to see it disregarded like that, that to them is wasteful. And ultimately, isn't that a more honorable attitude to have towards the things that you possess, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it just in this one scene, and it means nothing to the overall plot, but it lends this sentimental weight to the whole movie that without it, I feel like the movie wouldn't be the same. Like, it would still have all the action and all the cool shit.
Yeah.
But to have that sentimental weight attached to it, I think puts the movie in a different class than if it were just a straight up action beat 'em up type movie.
Mm-hmm.
So.
No, yeah, I like that. I've never really thought of it that way. I do like how he just kind of hands it to her, like, here you go.
Yeah, he kind of stares at it for a few seconds. He's not really sure what to do with it. He's like, and then hands it over to her.
Hate to see it go to waste.
Yeah.
So they get back. They're back on Coney Island.
Yep, they made it.
Yep. And I had to make note of, I believe it's Swan that says, as he's looking out all over Coney Island. This is what we fought all night to get back to.
Right. And that's another thing that drives home the whole subway scene.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very powerful line. I like.
Yeah, because he's looking at it and it's a shithole. And he's like, holy shit, why did we even bother? Like, just to get back here. And then again, like, they're fighting so hard for everything, every inch of ground that they cover, everything mm-hmm. that they get.
Every piece of turf.
and ultimately, it's a shithole when you really step back and take a good look at it. And so, yeah, it's profound. There's some real profound stuff happening in this movie that I think I think in the long run, if people don't even talk about it necessarily, like I'm sure when they talk about the Warriors, they talk about the aesthetics and the cool characters and the gimmicks and shit and whatnot, but there's some real profound stuff also happening.
Yeah, absolutely. So they're back. They made it back home, but they're not out of the woods.
Right fucking it's behind not, them.
It's not. They're back home, but it ain't fucking over.
No. Nope.
here are the rogues.
Yeah, in their hearse.
Luther and his boys. They're following the Warriors. The Warriors pack themselves. Swan now has a switchblade that he took off one of the punks.
Mm-hmm. That was a cool scene when they're all breaking shit up and getting ready, getting their weapons and whatnot.
Yeah, one of them's grabbing a pipe.
Mm-hmm.
Mercy's got a broken beer bottle.
Oh yeah, she's like, I can take care of myself, and she breaks a fucking beer bottle, ready to shank somebody.
Right. So they're hiding out, you know, and this is when you have the very famous, beer. First you hear the bottles clanging, right?
Uh-huh. Oh, I loved it. Panda's like, "What's that noise?" Mm-hmm. I'm like, "You'll see."
Yeah. So the story goes that David Patrick Kelly, because they're on Coney Island, right?
Right.
So he took, he took three mini beer bottles.
Yep.
Put them on their hand. Put them on his fingers, and he basically channeled an old neighbor that he had that would taunt him, and in such a way. I don't know if beer bottles were involved, but So that was the story. He took these beer bottles. He had the inspiration to come up with this taunt, you know, which I thought was a cool little story. We have the very famous Warriors Mountain Blade.
Mm-hmm.
He keeps getting more and more.
Keeps ramping up.
Annoying.
Well, yeah, the guy would, the neighbor, I read that story too. The neighbor would say his name, David. Oh, okay. It's David, right? David Patrick Kelly.
David. Yeah. David Patrick Kelly, yes.
He would go, Dave. And
okay.
Kelly said it was the creepiest fucking thing he'd ever heard. So mm-hmm. Yeah, he was definitely channeling that neighbor of his.
Right.
But I guess originally he had grabbed two dead pigeons.
Oh.
To clang together. And Walter Hill was like, yeah, that's not gonna work.
Holy shit. I didn't know about that.
Yeah. So it would have been a much different scene, I think, if you heard the thumping of two dead pigeons.
Yeah. Yeah, the bottles definitely was the way to go.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's on everybody's list of memorable movie quotes. And, you know, it's been parodied in all as you know all sorts of pop culture, you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. I'm even on their Wikipedia, there's a whole section where it's like it's like in popular culture, and you click on that section and it's all the times that it's been referenced, and it's like a pretty long list.
Yeah.
Swans basically ask them if they're ready, and they are, and they head down to the beach, and the rogues follow them, of course. And this is where you have there's Swan and Luther standoff. I mentioned earlier how they seem very familiar with each other.
Yeah. Maybe went to school together, and who knows?
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? Maybe Luther wanted to be a warrior.
Yeah,
maybe. And they didn't let him. Who knows? I mean, you could just really make up your own
right
backstory.
But then Swan has his Han Solo moment.
Mm-hmm.
Where he just barely gets out of the way of a bullet at point blank range.
And no one else gets hit with it?
Yeah, yeah. I was wondering, where did that bullet go?
I think Snow and Cowboy are right behind him.
Yeah, so. I know. I was expecting, I think the first time I saw this, I was expecting one of them to have gotten hit or something.
Yeah. Where does that bullet go? Anyway. But before all that, Swan asked him, you know, why he did what he did. And I just like doing things like that. That's the only answer you get.
It's kind of a Joker moment where he just does things because he does things.
Yeah.
He's crazy. He's a psycho.
Enough said. So Swan throws the switchblade into Luther's wrists.
Faster than a speeding bullet.
Right. Exactly. So Luther's very over the top scream. It kind of sounded like Luna Vachon a little bit.
And then he gets very mommy after this, like, oh.
Yeah, ow. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm sure it hurts, but
I mean, come on, man. You're in a gang.
You're the leader of the gang.
You're in front of your boys. You're not supposed to pussy out like that.
No.
Ow.
No. Ow. It was them, the warriors.
Yeah, the ending is very abrupt and
perfect timing on the riffs part, huh?
Yeah, I know, right?
Riffs.
And yeah, all of right. them are there, like, just out of the blue. Like, nobody noticed the sea of black rushing in.
Mm-hmm. And they're all, but they are black, and they're wearing black.
Yes.
So, all black, so. Yeah, impeccable timing. This Masai basically tells Swan, hey, sorry about that. You know, you warriors are good. The best. You know, we have that exchange. And the rifts part, and they let the warriors through. Warriors walk away. And then we have, I guess, the rifts take care of the rogues. Not just Luther, but all of them.
Oh, man, if I was the rest of those rogues, I'd be like, nah, man, it was him. Like, I had nothing to do with this.
Nothing to do with
Fuck loyalty at that point. Yeah. Like, Luther, I'm sorry,
man. Hey, Matt, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. But, I mean, I guess there's some loyalty to Luther because they all... No one runs away or anything or tries to...
I'd have been gone.
Tries to save their ass. So
I guess that's why I was never in a gang. Like I've got no loyalty.
You're a lone wolf.
Yeah, for sure. In that situation anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even get to do anything. They didn't get to beat anybody up. What's the point?
The rogues?
Yeah.
Well, they got interrupted. The rift showed up.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so they live this whole gang life just to get beaten down at the end for something Luther did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, fuck that.
Yeah. So you hear Luther scream. And you, yeah, the warriors did it. No, but yeah, so you assume that's the end of them.
So what happened? Okay, so let's do some fan theorizing here. What did the Rifts do to the Rogues on the beach in that moment?
They beat them to death like they did Cleon.
All of them?
Yeah.
So they just beat all the guys to death right there on the beach.
Dude, the Rogues are so outnumbered.
So just a pile of bodies on the beach when they're when it's all said and done.
And then they tossed them into the ocean.
You don't think maybe they just kind of snatched Luther, roughed him up, maybe roughed up the rest of the Rogues and told him to take a hike, and then just took Luther back to their headquarters and went medieval on him?
I'm sure they had to have... I'm sure Luther got the worst of it, but no, none of them were gonna survive. They killed Cyrus. They killed Cyrus.
Okay.
He was the one and only.
So they didn't call in a bunch of hardcore pipe-hitting brothers?
No. Although I do like the idea of them taking Luther back to their lair and torturing him or something like that.
With a pair of pliers and a blowtorch.
We never speak of this.
Oh, man, we're going to get to that one day, too.
Pulp Fiction? Oh, hell yeah. we got to do our Tarantino.
Oh, yeah.
Retrospective.
For sure.
So this is pretty much it. You see the warriors walking down the beach. You hear the DJ one last time, you know, hey, warriors, sorry about that, boppers. Here's one for you. And it's In the City by Joe Walsh. Yeah. That song.
A fitting way to end, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, so... So yeah, man, that's it. The Warriors. What are you thinking as far as do you have any final thoughts before we give a final grade?
No, just that it maintains a place in you know, atop my all-time movie list. It's like I mentioned it earlier, my second favorite movie of all time, or only behind Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
And for me, it's an A+. You know.
Oh boy, just like that, huh?
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. I'm not gonna be. I mean, yeah. Okay, critically, maybe I should give it 2 grades. Critically. B+, A-, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
But personally, it's an A+. I watched this movie an umpteen amount of times over the years since I discovered it. I will watch it at least once per year till the day I breathe my last breath. I've never gotten tired of it. Obviously, I can quote it, you know, all over the place.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I mean, a critic grade, B+. Personal grade, A+. So, okay. How about you? What do you think?
I think it speaks volumes that we've spent this long talking about a movie this short.
Yeah, well, there's so much to talk about. Not just the movie, but background info and, you know, stories.
Yeah.
From the set.
But I think this movie...
I actually have one more real quick. So when they're walking on the beach, right?
Uh-huh.
They keep on walking. And Mercy... they tell her to keep walking, just keep walking, and she's kind of like, how fucking long are we gonna walk here? I mean, come on. So finally they call her, you know, they tell her to come back, and they had a bouquet of roses waiting for her.
Oh, nice.
As a gift, nice little gift there. So it was a good little surprise for her.
Nice feel good moment to kind of end.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
She ain't no whore.
She don't call me no whore.
I think the cult classic status is well deserved. There are movies that don't live up to that billing, and then there are movies like this one that do. And I think you can put this movie in the rarefied air of things like Blade Runner.
Mm.
What's another cult classic?
Cult
Rocky Horror would be another one.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
It definitely belongs up there with that. And all these movies have their little issues and whatnot, like a little campiness, maybe some cheesy dialogue here and there, maybe some less than stellar performances and whatnot. But they've always got something that lends weight to the overall production. And this movie has that too.
True Romance be considered a cult classic?
I think so.
Yeah.
So movies like that, because there's little things you can pick on here and there. I think the biggest issue with this movie is the plot. On one hand, it works, but on the other hand, you know that there could have been a lot more to it. So yeah. That's one of the biggest issues for me. But you have such a good time watching it that you almost don't care. And I could definitely see myself watching this movie again and enjoying it again. I don't know that it's a favorite. I don't know that if I would watch it like multiple times, but I would definitely revisit this again just for fun. And like you talked about, like a critical review versus, you know, you as an individual, I can see you judging it on that scale because you have so much personal attachment to it. But I'm just going to judge it on a straight scale. I don't have that same history with the movie. So my thing is going to be more kind of critically and my own personal enjoyment as a whole. Because I think ultimately that's how a movie should be judged. Like, you shouldn't just pick it apart for what it's lacking or whatever. I think you should judge it based on both what it is in its components, and also how you just enjoyed it as a movie watching experience. And so based on those things, I think the movie does something unique. And that's the rarest and most precious aspect of the movie, in my opinion, is if you have a movie that can truly say it has done something unique, then I think you've got something really special that puts it in a class of its own. And that's where I think this movie is. And so taking all of those things into consideration as a whole, I don't see how you can put this movie at anything less than in the A category, because there are so few movies that do that set themselves apart by presenting something that is truly unique and truly special. And I think this movie does that. And I can't give it an A+ because I do think, there's enough issues with it. The ending feels kind of rushed. There's some loose ends that didn't get tied up and whatnot. But that's really just kind of nitpicking, because again, when you're just sitting there and you're watching it and you're engrossed in the story, you don't really even think about that unless you've seen the movie multiple times. So my final grade is going to land on a straight A.
Wow. Fantastic.
Yeah, I really think that this is one of the unique movie watching experiences that a person can have. And I say that with no reservations. Like, and I think that the testament to that for me was when I put the movie on and Panda got so engrossed in it.
Yeah.
Like that was the test for me. Cause I knew it had that guy appeal, that kind of macho, masculine, young man appeal. But to see someone who shouldn't have any interest in anything like that get so engrossed in the storyline, like, you know, there's more going on here than just some macho guy flick.
Right.
So yeah.
That's cool.
And when you really break it down and start to kind of look at some of the finer details and the things that it does well, it does those things extremely well. And you can't, like, as much as you could try and bring the grade down because of the misses here and there, the things that it hits on, it does so well, like you don't want to take anything away from it. And so I would absolutely, without any reservations, consider this movie an A.
Wow. Well, then I'll give it, yeah, I'll screw the critic grade, I'll go with my own A plus. Yeah
for sure, man. Like that's what I'm saying. Like if that's how the movie leaves you feeling, then fucking go with your gut.
Yeah it's an A plus for me.
Right on.
So yeah, I mean, goodness gracious, talk about this has got to be the most in-depth Warriors podcast of all time, right? Of any kind.
I think so, but there's a lot of stories attached to the movie, like you said, so
right.
So yeah, and it, you know, again, it's a testament to its status as a cult classic. Like there's so much mm-hmm. to this, there's so much more to this movie.
Yeah,
just a side-scrolling beat 'em up or whatever. So yeah, don't sleep on the Warriors. If you're out there and you've never seen it, like you will absolutely enjoy yourself if you watch this movie, even if you don't take away the deeper aspects of it. If all you take away from it is just a fun action movie, like fucking A, it's that all over.
Yeah, and so. I love that they're all. The only one who's no longer with us is Rembrandt.
Yeah, that's true.
Everyone's still,
and the DJ
still kicking. Oh well, I meant the Warriors specifically.
Well, they're survivors, man.
Yeah, and Mercy's still around too.
Yeah,
man, they must make hella money doing like reunions and conventions or what have you.
Probably tired of talking about it right now. But what the hell, man, cash those checks.
Absolutely.
All right, boppers, that's gonna do it for this review. But we got to close things out. We need to take a quick break before we do that though, so stick around and we'll have a lot more for you right on the other side of this.
All the moments will be lost.
In a world where Hollywood tries to tell you how to live while doing the exact opposite, where fresh ideas are tossed away for a cash grab reboot, where the media has become nothing but propaganda and freedom is traded for what they tell you is security and safety, there is Inconclusive Breakdown. Your weekly look at current events and entertainment with no political correct BS. Just news and uncensored opinions, everywhere you get podcasts. A proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
We are not gonna hide who we are just because some whore shakes our ass.
Don't call me no whore.
Why don't you just tie a mattress to your back? You don't care where it is, do you?
You gonna jump me?
Maybe we ought to pull a train on you. You look like you might even like it.
Fuck you!
shed cream beam a squeeze. The stage of smells, tells, hells, bells, misspells, knocks me on my knees. It didn't hurt, flirt, blood squirt, stop, shirt like me on a tree. After I count down three rounds in hell, I'll be in good company.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Handsome Dan Lopez, your host here, along with Jay Chewbacca. We are closing things out on this Keeping It Classic edition of The Final Say and our review of 1979's The Warriors. We had a lot of fun talking about it. We went in depth and covered way more ground than we probably originally thought we would. But it's been a lot of fun, and we're just here ready to put the finishing touches on it. Jay, any final thoughts before we start going into plugs and whatnot?
I think I've said it before, and I'll say it again. It's a pleasure to be here. Back teaming up with you. It's just... Dude, this helps keep me sane. Can I just be honest with you?
Please do.
You know, my Clark Kent job, as Calvin Brody would say, has been kind of stressful lately, and you know, kind of been. It was just a lot of bullshit to deal with, you know. So this, looking forward to this, looking forward to listening to podcasts like Midnight Jury, Was a Breakdown, and all the other million that I listen to. Really, really have just kept me from snapping. So thank you. Thank you for that.
Glad we can be of assistance there, brother. And, yeah, I got to say, a lot of people who listen to this new edition of The Final Say may not be familiar with the past and previous editions of The Final Say, but once I discovered what podcasts were, this became a passion of mine, and I absolutely do this for my own gratification and satisfaction and edification. Like, I don't do this...
Ooh.
Yeah, I know, busting out all the $20 words. I definitely don't do this for listeners. I don't give a shit if anybody listens or not. I don't do this to make friends. I don't do this because I think that my point of view needs to be out in the world. Like, I'm going to drop some nugget of truth that people have never heard before. Although... I do think I have some good things to say, and I think you do too. But I do this just because I have that urge to perform, for one thing. And I do consider this a sort of performance, but also it's fun to, I'm a bit of a rambler when it comes to the talky. And so, I would love to have more conversations with people, but you don't get that very often. Like, people who just want to sit down and hear what you have to say about movies or music or wrestling. Like, you don't meet too many people that you're just going to sit around and bullshit with about these different things and say as much as we say on this podcast. And so this is kind of a release for me, because I've got all these thoughts bottled up inside. Like, when I watch a good movie like The Warriors, I want to talk about it with somebody. And
right,
who the fuck can you find that will sit there and just bullshit with you for hours about a movie? especially a movie as old as The Warriors is, you know, like, maybe somebody saw that like way back in the day. Oh yeah, like I remember that movie, whatever. And you just want to like open up a can on them, you know what I'm saying? And but they're like, yeah, okay, cool, it was a good movie, but chill the fuck out or whatever, you know. So
oh, yeah,
I feel like that's yeah I feel like that's the boat that we're in, and this gives us an opportunity to vent all of that and relieve some of that pressure and get that stuff out there. So whether anybody listens or not, this is therapeutic for me. And so I always wanted to do this proper with not only quality production, but also consistency. And I'm just glad that we've been able to maintain both of those up to this point. We're still figuring out the kinks as far as the quality. Like, I'm constantly playing around with different things. So yeah, maybe down the line, you know, we're always going to be tweaking and perfecting and adjusting and stuff like that. But I am absolutely 100% determined that a new episode of this show will drop every single week. And so far we've managed to do that. And we're just going to keep that going. I don't give a fuck what anybody thinks or says about it. In my own personal life, I'm at that stage where I'm just about to flip the page to the next chapter of my life. The kids are getting grown. The wife is getting her own kind of interests going. You know what I mean? And, yeah. So we're all kind of falling into our own little individual grooves. And so that was one of the challenges in the past, was the Clark Kent life kind of getting in the way sometimes of this passion of mine. But, you know, it looks pretty much like smooth sailing. I'm on the subway train now, and I've got a clear path back to Coney Island. And so
there's no fires.
There's no delays. No rival gangs along the way. I'm home free. Like, as
no cops would say. No cops looking to bust your head.
No. So yeah, I'm not going to turn faggot. I'm just going to keep on. Goodness. I had to get one more in there. I'm just going to keep on rolling until the ride is over. So yeah, I'm really enjoying this too. So absolutely 100%. But let's,
Well, I ain't no whore.
No, definitely.
I know that much. So
we're not selling out either for any. We don't have a mattress. We don't have a mattress strapped to our backs or anything.
And don't call me no whore neither.
Yeah, no, so. No, absolutely not. So yeah, let's tell people what we're up to, where we can be found, and all that nonsense.
I'm on the Twitter, of course, at Tweets of Jay Baca, Tweets of JAYBACA. The Masked Debaters is on Twitter as well, at Masked DA. Nope, that's not it. At Masked DEBATORS, Masked Debaters.
Indeed.
My email is jbaca, WLW, at gmail.com. And as for where I can be found, I'm not telling anyone my address. So
Andy's sitting in the dark, so this is almost like witness protection that I'm doing here.
Well, yeah, you know,
minus the voice modulator, although that might not even be your real voice. They don't know
that. Yeah, they don't know nothing. But no, I turned off the lamp and now it's dark in here. And I had to get closer to the outlet because my phone was dying. So, in a ways that the Warriors were guerrilla filmmaking, I was guerrilla podcasting, I guess you could say.
Sometimes you do what you got to do.
Right. So that's it for me. Go buy Rocky Baia's t-shirts, prowrestlingtees.com/Rocky Baia, BAIA. Midnight Jury, at Midnight Jury on Twitter, Midnight Jury on Patreon, www.studios.com for their archives and current episodes, of course, as well.
And at Midnight Mike.
Yes, thank you. At Midnight Mike Show. Midnight is spelled MIDNITE.
Right, because he just...
Right, well, yeah, because... Midnight Jury is spelled the regular way you spell midnight. But yeah, he had to switch it up a little bit, I guess. So
Oh, Inconclusive Breakdown.
Yep.
At Inconclusive Pod on Twitter. They have a Inconclusive Breakdown Facebook group. And you can find them anywhere, pretty much anywhere you can get podcasts, via the Shining Wizards Network. Same with the Midnight Jury also.
Right.
If you don't want to go to WLWstudios.com, which I don't see why you wouldn't, but if you want to find them elsewhere, that's where they'll be. What do you got going on?
I want to mention American Loser, the podcast by KP Burke.
Okay.
It's the American Loser podcast. You can find it on Spotify, SoundCloud. Yeah, it's done by KP Burke. It's great. Go listen to it. And eventually, maybe we'll have a commercial from him. He told me to just keep on him about that. And so I'm going to keep on him till we get one. Nice. So that'll be nice. We have something to play. So that people can hear them and hear what they're all about and get all their deets that way. Our Vantage Point Pro Wrestling Retro Wrestling Podcast, OVP Podcast on Twitter, OVPPodcast.com, I believe is the website, and they have a Patreon as well.
Right.
Basically, Our Vantage Point Retro Wrestling Podcast. Just search that and you'll find them. I know that's a lot of words, but come on. You want to be a warrior or you want to turn faggot?
You one more.
Oh man, I'm going for the record.
Just throw it in the Google machine for crying out loud and it'll pop up.
Yeah. Our Vantage Point Retro Wrestling Podcast. They do good stuff, real good work. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's at Dan's Final Say on Twitter, facebook.com/Dan's Final Say, and for email, it is dancefinalsay@yahoo.com. And then for this particular show, which you are currently listening to, dancefinalsay.podbean.com. That's one way to tell people to get there and get the show. But we are also on Spotify too. So
yep. If
you decide that you're going to help us out and spread the word of mouth, whatever, you know what your friends listen to. If you don't, find out and tell them, hey, if it's Spotify, search Handsome Dan's Final Say. If dancefinalsay.podbean.com is easier for them, then give them that. Whatever. As long as people get the show, I don't really care how they get it. And that's really it, man. We're having a lot of fun. We're doing a lot of interesting things, a lot of fun things. The WrestleMania main event tournament is underway. And some exciting matchups we still have to look forward to there. Some more exciting movie reviews are waiting in the wings. Some more album reviews. We got a little bit of everything here, folks, to keep you entertained. So do not sleep on the Final Say. We've got a lot more in store, and we're just going to keep on rolling till we reach Coney Island.
Yeah, we're going to, I mean, there's so much else we could do. I mean, I don't mean to spring this on you on air, but, you know, I was thinking, you know, if we ever wanted to do a retrospective on like a certain TV series or any other aspect of pop culture we could think of, really. I mean, I know we've had conversations about like what toys we used to play with when we were kids and things like that. So maybe we could delve into that someday. But I'm definitely liking the variety of wrestling movies and music.
Yeah, you know, there's no shortage of topics.
Keeps each of them fresh because we bounce from one to one. So,
oh, for sure. And yeah. I think the people appreciate that one way or the other.
Yeah, sure. So, all right, man. Well, it was fun. Can't wait to do this. Can't wait to do this again.
Yep, and hopefully you can't wait either, those of you out there listening, and we will be sure and have something new, hot and fresh, off the press for you next week, or whenever it is that you decide to tune in again. There's a few episodes in the archives to go back and check out if you haven't listened to them all yet already, or just go back and revisit them and listen to them again. What the hell? But anyway, that's it for this episode. That's it. That closes the book on the 1979 cult classic, The Warriors, directed by Walter Hill. Jay, it's been fun. But for now, this is your host, the smartest man not in professional wrestling, movies, music, pop culture, etc., Handsome Dan Lopez, and I have just had my final say. We'll see you next time. Yeah.